It's time for another edition of Colchonero Chat, a Monday afternoon pod. I'm Jeremy, joined per usual by Robbie. How you doing, man?
Good, Jeremy, good. We had a chance to kind of collect our thoughts after another fairly convincing win from Atletico. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the chat.
That's three consecutive games, Robbie, where Atletico haven't embarrassed themselves. That's maybe the longest stretch of games in which they have not done that this season. We're, of course, talking about the 2-0 win over Celta Vigo at the Wanda Metropolitano on Saturday. A Renan Lodi brace, which we're going to talk all about, providing the winning margin. Atletico entered the top four briefly following that win. They currently sit fifth after Barcelona's victory over Athletic on Sunday. Let's start per usual, Robbie, with your general thoughts and observations from the 2-0 victory.
Yeah, it's another, it was quite convincing too, or maybe not convincing, but definitely coherent, and you could see what they were trying to do, just much like the Man United game. And there was a spell in the first half where they looked maybe a little bit shaky, and it looked like Celta Vigo could hurt them, but they manned the storm, and then they put them to bed. So yeah, it's kind of strange, because every single week we come on and chat, and every game that we watch, and we're trying to kind of figure this whole thing out, and it's more for our own sake, for our own understanding, because mm-hmm. we've all got like this cognitive dissonance. So like the Atletico that we once knew, it just seemed to disappear before our eyes, and we're trying to figure out where it went, or maybe it was an illusion all along. But I think there's been a lot of kind of cognitive dissonance this season, and every single game we're just looking for scraps, we're looking for some kind of a signal as to what it is they're trying to do, or who they're trying to become, or what the problems are. And and we just couldn't do it. Every time we came on the show, we were like, it's this, it's definitely this. And then the next week, it's like, okay, no, maybe it's not that. It's this new thing that's come up. And John Oblak has been, got his, got the blame for a while. Koke has been blamed. Some of the newer signings have been blamed. Llorente's form has been blamed. But I think it just turns out that the tactics weren't coherent, and what we saw against Celta Vigo, against Manchester United, and what we see now is a team that resembles Simeone's image, a team built in Simeone's image, but that also makes sense for Atletico and who they need to be right now. And we'll get into that, I'm sure, during the podcast, but it definitely looks like this is a team that, okay, they're obviously not going to challenge for La Liga this season and that, but at least, like you said, they're not embarrassing themselves, and that is that's the least we can ask for.
Yeah, big step forward. I'm pretty sure I tweeted this on Saturday, but it's really amazing how quickly your team's fortunes can turn around if you play a natural pivot, a natural defensive midfielder, and if there is a somewhat coordinated pressing system, a somewhat decently coordinated structure. And we saw both of those things on display against Man United. Unfortunately for Atletico, it didn't result in a win. And we saw them enforce again on Saturday. Simeone choosing to repeat and persist with that 11 that started against United. And he was rewarded handsomely. I was a bit surprised by the decision not to rotate, Robbie. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Well, I'd say that was what Simeone was thinking. I think that was a fairly clear message that this works. This is how it's going to be. If you work hard, and if we get results, I don't want to change. I want a little bit of consistency. He'd prefer not to have to keep changing and making substitutes in the middle of games and whole scale changes in the middle of games, and I think that was a message to say, look, if we figure this out, I want to keep going with this. And I think it was definitely a nod to the Manchester United team, to the performance against Manchester United, and to the tactics. And he's saying, look, this is what we're going with now, this is who we are, and until it stops working, we're going to keep going with it. And yeah, he I didn't. I wasn't sure if he was going to go with Correa and Felix as the two up front, but he obviously did, and it definitely worked. And that's the other thing. So so this is the whole thing. I mean, I think Sid Lowe talks about it, or I think it was John Toshak who said it before about you've got a blanket that's only so long, and you have to either cover your feet or your head, and yes. You have to kind of decide which one it is. So for Simeone and Celta Vigo or La Liga side, and we often kind of make light of teams and they should be beating them and that, but at the end of the day, these are teams that will tear you to shreds if you give them the chance. So I think Atletico, what they're doing right now, it's not perfect, no, but it definitely solves a couple of their main issues, namely being countered on, being passed through too easily, and the spaces in midfield for opposing teams to get through them. So it solves that, and it kind of adds a little bit to their attacking, because you can just go pure defensive, shut down those passing lanes and stuff, but then you're just back to square one with your nil alls all day long. But playing in this fashion, they can hurt you, and they're quite direct, and also it's coherent defensively.
And the midfield is a lot stronger than it has been all season. And central to this midfield is Hector Herrera, a guy who has been kind of a forgotten man much of the past two seasons. He's made three consecutive starts. That's, I believe the stat I saw this morning is that's as many as he made all of last season. And he's been, I think, immense in terms of allowing Atletico to control the game and showing some defensive responsibility, which we haven't frequently seen. He led all Atletico players with 16 recoveries on Saturday, which is a ton. Also completed 48 passes, a team high, at an 84% clip. We talked about Herrera's passing range and the quality of his passing a lot in the past, but we haven't seen it too often because Koke and DePaul have been preferred to him certainly throughout this season, but I think Herrera has been absolutely critical to how Atletico are playing right now. And Herrera, Kondogbia, Vrsaljko, Lodi, these are all guys who at different points this season and last season were kind of considered afterthoughts when Simeone when it came time to pick his first choice 11. And they're now guys who are leading this charge as Atletico are trying to salvage something from this season. And we'll talk about Lodi in just a minute, but Herrera and Kondogbia, that pair in the center of midfield has just been locking everything down. Kondogbia misplaced only one pass on Saturday. He did have to exit with a muscular injury, but it seems that was precautionary, if anything else. How difficult is it going to be for Koke and DePaul to get back into this team? Because right now, this looks like Simeone's best midfield pairing far and away.
Yeah, you referred to Herrera as the forgotten man, but I think he's been more the one who, not the one who got away, but the one who just never clicked, or who, because when yeah. He does play, and he definitely does have a flair about him, and he has a skill set that is and would be valuable in specific teams. He's got the physical traits, as in he's quite rangy and he covers a lot of ground, and he's quick without being like fast. And I think that's and I just said earlier that Koke was blamed when it wasn't actually Koke, but to be fair, going back on that, I think Koke has been shown up a little bit in this season in terms of physicality, and he just can't cover the ground as quickly as someone like Herrera or Kondogbia, or even kind of like in basketball, like closing down passing lanes by just yep. being there, like by just standing there, and I will get to this ball if you try to pass it within a couple of yards of me. Whereas Koke just can't do that, and these are the fine margins we're talking about in La Liga and elite football. So yeah, like those two guys have been excellent, and I mean, I know we with Atletico, I think we have to, we could come on in a week's time and say how terrible they looked, and I understand that but it's more about process and logic for me as far when I'm thinking about it, and for me, Kondogbia and Herrera definitely definitely do make sense when you're trying to shut down passing lanes, when you are playing with two up front but it's also kind of like a combination of things, right? Like, it's because Marcos Llorente and Renan Lodi are playing on the left and right now too. I don't even know why you call Llorente, but he has been playing fullback for a lot of the season, and he can cover lots of ground like really quickly. So he's playing on the right. Lodi, a fullback by name, is playing on the left. So he's kind of doubled up out wide, and then it's a matter of having enough legs to cover the middle, which Condogbia and Herrera do, and Joe Felix and Correa kind of sitting back when necessary to shut down the middle. So it's kind of a collection of things, and Herrera and Condogbia definitely do make sense, but it has been a combination of things. And I also think, like, so Koke won't get back into that side as far as I can see, and Rodrigo De Paul won't get into the side if Simeone A, continues to play like that, and B, tries to slot him in at right midfield, because I was actually just looking at Rodrigo De Paul's numbers from last year and where his value comes from. Touches in the box, shots, creating in the final third of the field, and he was playing in a position that needs more of a kind of a fullback, and he was kind of trying. I think he saw Rodrigo De Paul and was like, "Oh yeah, he'll do the same thing. He'll do the same thing and put up the same numbers in a deeper position." But you just can't, like, when you're being asked to do something else. I just think for Simeone and for Atletico, Rodrigo De Paul, his skill set doesn't translate into what they were trying to do. So I don't think he gets back into that team. Because Llorente, like, he was trying to turn Rodrigo De Paul, an attacking midfielder, who I would probably have as more of a number 10, or as way more centrally and like a free 8 or someone.
He's trying to turn him into a 5.
Yeah, and he was trying to play him as like Saul. He was trying to turn him into Saul Niguez, who was way more, a kind of a more defensive midfielder, or not even defensive, but combative and Rodrigo De Paul is that, but his value comes from being further up the field, getting touches in and around the box, and he just isn't able to do that. Whereas Saul Niguez is the kind of player who can start way deeper, and he's comfortable, and he has played right back. Marcos Llorente the same, and he was trying to turn Rodrigo De Paul into something that he just doesn't do very well and doesn't translate well. So I think it's been a combination of things. Whether or not it continues to work, and I mean, this is the kind of league where their next opposition will have done their homework on them, and maybe we'll see flaws appearing that we didn't even think existed in the next couple of games. But right now it seems to make sense, and they're all working together, and like you said earlier, their luck seems to have turned slightly.
And with Condogbia and Herrera both, you have what Koke and De Paul have not offered consistently this season: ball progression and dynamism. Both players are keen dribblers. They progress the play. Herrera had 8 progressive passes on Saturday in 90 minutes that led all Atletico players. And that's just so important to have a midfield that doesn't move the ball backwards or laterally like Koke does. That type of passing, that type of strategy does serve a purpose to keep possession, but Atletico do not keep possession particularly well with Koke on the pitch this season. Herrera and Condogbia both offer something different than what we've seen for the majority of the season, and it is helping to turn around Atletico's fortunes. Condogbia ended up creating both goals on Saturday on very similar actions, long balls to Renan Lodi in the box, and Lodi finishing both passes off for his first career doblete, Robbie, his first career brace. The first goal, I think it was pretty poor defending by Hugo Mayo and poor goalkeeping by Matias de Turo, but this was a pretty sharp finish. Cutting outside, then inside, then slicing the ball in past the near post.
Yeah, lovely, yeah. And the Condogbia, I think I think Simeone signed him, or well, he did sign him after Arsenal came and nabbed Thomas Partey. And I think Simeone has always seen Kondogbia as a poor man's version of Thomas Partey.
Yep.
And he considers him the after Partey.
That's a good one.
No, I think he's seen Kondogbia as a poor man's Thomas Partey, and Simeone famously has not loaded, given players the responsibilities that they sometimes need, and Kondogbia has proven now that he might not have the talent to find the pass, and he's maybe not as cerebral as Koke, but he has everything that you might need from that position, and he's got the kind of little bit of a maverick in him, which is also kind of partly why Simeone maybe doesn't really trust him, and it was a reason why I think Simeone kind of took a while to warm to Thomas Partey as well. But he's proven that he can be that number five. He's rangy. He's got a lovely range of passing. He can pick a pass. He can find a pass. And he might not be at the level of Thomas Partey, the Thomas Partey that left Atletico Madrid and that attracted interest from the Premier League. But he's getting there. I mean, I think he's with in the right situation. Kondogbia could draw attention just like Thomas Partey did a couple of years ago, and Herrera too. Another guy who never got the, not respect, but never got the game time because he's too much of a maverick, and he does have that kind of clumsy streak in him. But I think you have to kind of take the rough with the smooth with Herrera, in that he does offer you something a little bit. He's got that flair, but he does have that. Whereas, like, you will get, Koke offers you an 8 out of 10, or, well, maybe not this season, a 7 out of 10 every week. Hector Herrera might give you a 5 on some weeks, 4 even, but he's capable of giving you a 9 or even a 10, and the same with Kondogbia. But Simeone doesn't like that variance. He needs to know what he's getting so he can plan around that. But I think Simeone has realized, but the problem with that is the less time you, and this is the paradox, the less time you give the guy, the more likely it is that you're going to get a 5 off him. And that's what we've seen. So Herrera comes on and he's in the wrong situation, and he's trying to prove himself, and he's kind of a bit pissed off, and he's a bit annoyed, and he's coming on trying to save a game, and he's got Atletico 3-1 down, and he's sitting back there on his own and being exposed, so, and he's not really being given a chance, so you're going to get a 4 on those occasions. And then it's like, oh, see, I told you. And it's like, yeah, but you're playing him in the wrong situation.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy
exactly, yeah. And then it's just all more evidence that Herrera's not up to it, and that's what we've seen, and we've probably fallen into that trap as well, I guess we can only go by what we see, but we do fall into the trap and think what you see is all there is, kind of, you know, and that's not the case. These guys, and it's like Joe Felix, like, oh, but he's never actually shown it. It's like, yeah, but he's never actually been given a chance. You have to bear with him and let him grow into the role and feel confident and feel comfortable within the side, and we're starting to see that now with these players. And I'd say Simeone, that's part of the reason why Simeone continued with that formation against Celta Vigo. It's like, look, forget about names. If you win and you keep winning, you're going to play, and it's simple as that. And I think that kind of confidence he gave them also could be seen in their intensity, in their effort, in their sense of purpose, and kind of wanting to keep the run going. And it's like they've kind of grasped onto something now, and they just want to hold it for dear life. And whereas before it was like they were so nervous, whereas now they're playing with that little bit more confidence.
Before, you couldn't find anything that worked. Right now, this is working. We'll see for how long it works. But right now, this was a pretty good week for Atletico. The win over Osasuna to help settle things down after the Levante loss. The draw against Man United, which would have been a win on another day. And then this display against Celta, which was pretty good. And the sensaciones are more positive now. Do you remember a few years ago, Robbie, when Simeone played Juan Fran as a winger for about 6 weeks?
I don't remember it specifically, but I do remember Juan Fran used to be, he was a winger.
He was, when Atletico bought him from Osasuna, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But about midway through the 16-17 season, Simeone decided to do what he's doing now with Lodi, play the double fullback. He played Juan Fran as a winger for about 4 to 6 weeks. Juan Fran scored a couple goals, and he went away from the tactic as the season moved along. But Cholo, I think, is repeating this tactic with Lodi now on the left-hand side, turning him into, at least for the time being, an out-and-out winger. And it's really suiting him well. And it speaks well of Lodi, Herrera, Kondogbia, Falcao as well. It speaks well of them professionally that they've continued working, even as Simeone hasn't given them enough chances when things weren't working earlier this season. But better late than never, right? Atletico could still salvage something in La Liga and in the Champions League. And desperate times call for desperate measures. Drastic measures have needed to be taken with Atletico in free fall for a good chunk of this season. Right now, this is stabilizing them. And this is a tactic that Unai Emery has tried and has experienced success with, this strategy of the double fullback. And with Lodi, he's such a classy attacking talent. He's super skilled. He has a lot of flair. And if you free him from any defensive responsibility, or at least most defensive responsibilities, this is what he can reward you with. And on the second goal, almost a carbon copy of the first one, Hugo Mayo gets caught out by the Kondogbia pass, and it is just this beautiful one touch into the net past Di Torto. Lodi can do this. We've seen him score, I think, 5 goals for Atletico now.
Yeah, and the other thing is and he did that a couple of times. He's got Marcelo is the holy grail.
Like, he's like the king of this. Yeah.
Oh, the king. He is the king of those lovely touches. But Renan Lodi is showing off some lovely skill that specific skill playing on the left wing. And yeah, I think you're right. Like, and ideally, what you would get is Reinildo and Ronan Lodi all into one player, like someone like a Lucas Hernandez.
Mm.
But like strong defensively, up for the fight, but also up and down the wing and can deliver a cross. But sadly, Atletico, this is what makes recruitment so hard, and they haven't been able to find that guy. Reinildo offers some of that, not all of it. Renan Lodi offers some of that, not all of that. And luckily, the two of them complement each other, are very different, but they both complement each other. So yeah, this is kind of a natural, maybe not natural, we didn't necessarily know what was going to happen, but it looks natural on the field or in the last couple of games. And I think that Lodi, yeah, he looks like a man who's liberated, and some of the delivery, even against Manchester United, again against Celta Vigo, the way he took the second goal was just magnificent. And yeah, I just wonder now, and this just kind of makes the podcast, you can just kind of throw the archives away and forget everything he's ever said, because like I just said, like, we think, oh, this is all you see is or what you see is what's the saying, what you see is all there is, and we thought Lodi was limited, now he's not. But when you change the circumstances and when you kind of give him a different role and when you play him in a different situation and environment, He changes completely. Now, I don't know if it's going to continue, obviously. I mean, I can't imagine it's going to be as good as it has been the last two games, but he certainly at least made us think about our assessment, go back to the drawing board as to our assessment of him. We did the podcast about
Sell star or starter, yeah.
Yeah, sell star or starter, and he was a sell. Like, I think we both said that, whereas now you're looking at him going, if he doesn't have to defend as much. But see, this is the thing. He still can defend. He's got that kind of mental muscle. He's got that chip in his brain. So he still can do that, and it makes him that little bit more solid defensively. But he's also offering plenty going forward.
You mentioned Reinildo, and I did want to address him as well, because I thought he played very well on Saturday. I think getting his signing over the line on deadline day was really important, because he's made a couple individual mistakes. Against Man United was a particularly glaring one, and it hasn't been the easiest start to life at Atletico for him, but I thought he played well on Saturday. Multiple blocks, including a crucial one off basically off the goal line inside the first 15 minutes. a couple tackles, a couple interceptions, four clearances. He's not going to offer very much offensively. He's not going to be the Lucas Hernandez all-in-one replacement, but he's a guy who, he's not going to be confused with Felipe Luis, but he's going to offer a lot of value as someone who can tuck into the center of defense, but also help to play that forward pass to get Lodi or Carrasco or Lemar off and running. On the other side, Robbie, Vrsaljko, I noticed, tucked into central defense a lot. I think this was to account for Javi Galan, how good a dribbler he is, the Celta fullback, who I think Atletico could have signed last summer. But Vrsaljko is really battling. I've noticed that. He's, similar to Reinildo, a bit limited going forward. But Atletico need these kind of characters if their defense is going to improve at all from now to the end of the season. They've still let in a ton of goals, 34 goals conceded, which is in the bottom half of La Liga. Staggering. But between Vrsaljko and Reinildo, these are not superstars. These are not sexy names or really overly appealing to many fans, but they're also important. They're glue guys. They're going to keep the defense tied together in a sense.
Yeah, definitely. And I think given the fact that they individually, they're not amazing footballers. But I think the sum can be greater than the whole can be greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
If the tactics that they're being asked to play and the strategy makes sense. And I think we watched the Levante game and it just didn't make sense. Rodrigo De Paul was coming in really, really narrow. Levante were playing out to the left, their left, so Rodrigo De Paul's side. He had to run 15 yards to close him down. By the time he had made it to the player, they had gone back to the centre-back. Then Correa had gone, and then it was just spaces everywhere. Whereas now, they're just a little bit more compact. Herrera, as I said, can cover that ground a little bit easier. Marcos Llorente is probably more aware of defensively as to his positioning, and he's really willing to press and close it down. And all of a sudden, they're getting to the wide man quicker. It's a little bit of a riskier pass going back to the centre back. Mm-hmm. And then by the time they get the ball back there, they're looking to the midfielder, and Herrera's already pushed up on them, and it just makes sense. And it's like, okay, now we have to go back to the goalkeeper and send it long. Right, let's go. We start again, and it just makes it that little bit harder. And that's exactly what they did against Manchester United. And then when they come over to the right hand side, their right hand side, Atletico's left, it's the same. Renan Lodi pushes up, and he covers a lot of ground quickly, so he gets over to his man. Kondogbia is already pushed over. They're working in tandem. Reinildo and Jimenez are solid there, and then Joao Felix is already starting to kind of drop, and they're conceding possession with the centre backs. But before they were conceding possession to centre backs, the holding midfielder was free, the two wide men were free. And Atletico were just sitting there, like sitting ducks, waiting for teams to progress on them. Whereas now they're kind of pushing up, being that little bit more aggressive. They're letting the centre backs have it a little bit more. But, like, the one-on-one battles are far more harder to win, because you're having to go through Kondogbia, you're having to go through Herrera, you're having to get through Reinildo and Renan Lodi, and that's before you even get to the box where Jimenez and Savage it just makes sense. I don't know if it's going to keep working like this, but for me right now, at least I'm looking at Atletico going, this makes some kind of sense. Watching them against Levante, and we said that they made them look like Bayern Munich, and obviously a little bit of an exaggeration. But there were spaces everywhere. They could just pass it so around so easily, and they were getting up the field so easily, and it was just like all these little combinations, and Atletico were just collapsing like dominoes. And whereas now it just feels way, 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 way more. And look, those individual mistakes might still happen, but that's something that is a kind of like a talent mental thing rather than like a tactical thing where the system and the structure just doesn't make sense.
Right. If it comes from an individual mistake or a mental error or a physical error, it's one thing. But if it's systemic and it's repeatable and you know it's repeatable, that is entirely different. So that's what's been encouraging about these last 7 to 10 days is that Atletico seem to have, and you wrote about this last week with Diego Simeone finding a new blueprint, Robbie, is that it's a more coordinated system that switches more easily between a three at the back and a four at the back going forward. And also, I think it's really important that this team presses in a coordinated manner and they press high up the pitch. The best teams in football right now, City, Liverpool, Bayern Munich, they all do that. It's a coordinated, modern system of pressing and winning possession high up the pitch. And Joao Felix and Angel Correa, the starting forward pair of these last two games, they've been leading this charge, Correa especially. Like, I'm consistently, maybe not amazed, but it's consistently impressive how intelligent Correa is as a footballer. The runs he makes, the pressure he applies, he led all Atletico players in just pressures attempted with 22 on Saturday. He's just such an intelligent runner and an intelligent player. And Joao working hard for the team is going to get him in Simeone's good graces for sure, because that's been a legit criticism of his in the past. What is his work rate? Is he willing to work hard for the team and put in those hard yards if he's not scoring or setting up a goal?
Yeah. Angel Correa just continues to surprise, or continues to delight, I'd say.
Yeah.
He's been excellent all season, pretty much, and he definitely offers something. That his control in tight areas and his ability to kind of sell a dummy is just almost second to none. But like you said there, I mean, it just makes sense. And Joe Felix being given opportunities now, and it feels like it's his position to lose. And I think that was on Simeone. Well, it was partly on Joe Felix. He took the opportunity. He was given an opportunity against Manchester United. He took it, and I think that's something that we couldn't say for a long time with him. He had been given some opportunities, and he wasn't. And we were like, oh well, give him one more opportunity, but he actually took it this time, and he's holding on to it. So yeah, it's interesting now to see where they go from here. But it's definitely starting to look a little bit better. And it's an awful pity that the season and the league title is gone, because if they kept playing like this, and they probably would have been a lot closer to Real Madrid and Sevilla, and top four would be almost guaranteed at this point if they had of.
One more question for you before we preview next weekend's Partidazo against Betis. What do you think Griezmann's role is going to be going forward? He's back now after basically 2 months out, played half an hour or 15 minutes against Man United, and then about half an hour against Celta, looked pretty close to scoring, had a couple very good chances, including one from a free kick a few minutes from time. Griezmann is a player who we know from his first Atletico stint puts in a lot of hard yards, a lot of running, a lot of ball pressure. That is the player Simeone molded him into. With Correa and Joao Felix playing very well at the moment, and that tandem appearing to work, what's the role for Griezmann? Suarez's role is also potentially up in the air, because Atletico play a lot better when Suarez isn't on the pitch this year. But Griezmann's position fascinates me, because I'm not sure how much playing time he's going to get and how seamless the transition will be between, you know, Correa comes off for Griezmann and Joao Felix comes off for Griezmann. So I'm curious as to what you think about that.
Yeah, well, I guess what we're looking at is Simeone has been trying to figure out for a while now. Well, the signing of Reinildo in January solved a lot of problems for them, because he can now play four at the back, which he has been kind of leaning towards recently. So he's got the four in the back. He's solved his midfield for now in terms of the physicality and the ability to cover ground. So that's solved. And now it's a matter of building from there, because you can take Ren and Lodi out, and Yannick Carrasco, you don't lose anything really by putting Yannick Carrasco there. Now, I said earlier that Ren and Lodi offers a defensive solidity there, but against certain teams and in different situations and circumstances, Yannick Carrasco can slot in there, and be like more than okay, and he's been one of their best attack, and you probably get a little bit more attack wise in attack from him than you do from Lodi. You lose out a little bit defensively, but that's where Carrasco goes, and then Llorente on the right is where he goes, and then it's a matter of rotating, say, Griezmann for João Felix, Griezmann for Correa. I'd say Suarez is now, I mean, he's got a couple of months left. I don't know how many games there are left. There's probably about 13 games or something, 12 games left.
Thereabouts, yeah.
And his contract is up in the summer. I'd say he'll go to America after the MLS in the summer. And I think that that's the role he'll have to play. But you could swap. And it's an awful pity too that all the competitions are, well, we don't know about the Champions League, but the season is winding down now, and there's Simeone will want to get a set 11. But changing Griezmann for João Felix, to give João Felix a rest, or start him and give him an hour, and that's where his role would be within the 4-4-2. You know, instead of before, we were talking about every time they'd name a team, you're looking at it going, okay, Griezmann, he's obviously trying something new here. Just three at the back, and it's going to be this in possession, it'll be this, and then out of possession, it'll be that, and then it looks like they might be going here and there. He had no platform to build off, So, whereas when you have a platform, you can then just kind of swap guys in and out, give them slightly different roles depending on the opposition, but the platform is there. With his back four and his midfield now sorted, or looking like it's sorted, so Jan Oblak, Versalco, Vaz could slot in there either, Savage, Jimenez, Reinildo, Lodi / Carrasco, Herrera, Kondogbia, or even Herrera, maybe even Rodrigo De Paul if you want to kind of push him up a little bit, and Marcos Llorente, and possibly Vaz there to slot in there. And then your two up front, Angel Correa and João Felix as the starters, Griezmann could come in, Suarez could come in, and that's what you're dealing with now, and they're the tactics, and I think that that's what he'll be going with from now on, and it'll just be a matter of rotating Griezmann in and out.
The idea is to make it as seamless as possible, because Simeone's used, I think, 33 different starting 11s and then 36 games, which is not sustainable. All right, so here is what the race for top six looks like, Robbie. It is tight. Betis are currently third on 46 points with 26 games played. Barcelona moved back into fourth on Sunday night. They have 45 points from 25 played. Atletico are fifth with the same number of points and one more game. Villarreal are 6th on 42 points from 26 played, and then Real Sociedad staying in the fight with their tight win over Osasuna. They have 41 points from 25 played. So five teams separated by 5 points fighting for practically two places. And wouldn't you know it, at the Benito Villamarín next Sunday night, Atletico are facing Real Betis. Oof, what a game this will be. Betis defeated by Sevilla on Sunday in the Seville Derby, 2-1. Sergio Canales was booked in that game, and he will be suspended for yellow card accumulation. Stefan Savage also suspended due to card accumulation. Marca reported on Monday that Savage also has a muscular injury, which is just great news for Simeone. Third versus fifth at this point in the season. Really, for most, if not all, of the marbles, how do we see this one going?
Yeah, I'm just starting to wonder now, have Real Betis kind of run their race? They've got the game on Thursday against Rayo. They're winning 2-1 in the Copa del Rey semi-final.
Yep. Coming off a cup game.
Yeah, Rayo haven't been great, and in fairness to them, they're not really playing great. It feels like the kind of off-field stuff has definitely affected them. And they're another team who look like they've kind of done everything that they can this season, and it's just a matter now of getting to the end of the season. So, like Betis, they really didn't look good for long spells against Sevilla, and and Canales is pretty much everything to them, and Fekir as well, but Canales more so. I think he really does knit the side together. So I'm not sure really. It's again, we're going to need a little bit more evidence than what we've got to really go all in on Atletico again. So I'm not going to be making any predictions, but it feels like the wheels could come off for Betis, pretty quickly if they're not careful.
Yeah, Betis are the only Spanish team that is alive in three competitions. They're alive in La Liga. They're third currently. They are all not certainly, but likely going to play in the Copa del Rey final if they overcome Rayo in the second leg. And they're also in the Europa League. They beat Zenit and advanced in the Europa League. So they are still alive in three competitions. And as you said, this is new ground for Betis under Pellegrini. And they have had a wonderful season to this point. They've played very attractive football. Their midfield in particular has been excellent, whereas Atletico's for much of this season has not been. Between Canales and Fekir, who went off injured at halftime against Sevilla and is a doubt for midweek, Guido Rodriguez, Carvalho, they've just had a number of excellent players solidifying their midfield. So this game will likely be won in the center of the park, and Simeone should really not hesitate to have Kondogbia and Herrera out there again and try as closely as you can to replicate what has been done these past 7 to 10 days. No Savic is going to be a blow, and would you slot in Felipe there? Would you slot in Gulp Hermoso? What would you do to replace Savic in this game?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say he'll go with Felipe. But yeah, it feels like he's going to the run-in is all about it's all about who can be more consistent rather than who's coming up with innovations and who's playing the nicest football. I think it really is a war of attrition, La Liga and the season, and I think that he'll go with the same formation again with Kondogbia and Herrera, and I'd say he'll put Felipe there just because he has more experience playing as a right on the right of the back of in the center of a back four. So when is Daniel Voss back? Is he back in the next week or two? Is he?
That would be nice. he should be back in the next 10 to 14 days is my guess. I mean, because he was injured.
Yeah, they said the first United game, so maybe he'll be back in, probably about 10 days, 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, they're probably going to save him for that.
Yeah, I'd say he'll go with Felipe, and at the end of the day, he's got a decent squad, and he has to use it, and I mean, I know Felipe has had his issues, but hopefully in better circumstances, he won't have a chance to kind of embarrass himself on previous occasions this season.
Yeah, Simeone's had to be very careful with. I think it's been good man management on his part to not denigrate Felipe in the media and to not, the fans have obviously been piling on him all season, and a lot of it is deserved because he's made a lot of individual errors. But I think it's good man management on Cholo's part to keep him in the loop, keep him in contention for minutes. He's turned him off the bench a couple times when it was sensitive to do so. His last appearance against Osasuna was very good. That second half, he made, I think, half a dozen clearances. So my guess would be Felipe as well, or he could move for Salco to center back at some point in the game, and Llorente would play some right back or some right wing back. Some options there. Voss coming back and being fit would solve some of these issues on the right-hand side. But Versalco, I think, has got that position on lockdown at the moment. He's playing pretty well, especially defensively, and this will be a battle. Atletico's 3-0 win over Betis earlier this season has likely guaranteed them head-to-head should the two teams end up level on points, but a win at the Villamarín would be just gigantic. With the way Barca's season is going, the momentum Barca are generating currently is significant, and I think Barca are probably going to finish third if I had to bet on that today. So Atletico's best shot is probably to catch Betis and to hold off Villarreal and Real Sociedad for that fourth position. But a lot can still happen. There's still 12, 13 games to go for some teams. It's exciting. It's not where we thought Atletico would be, but it is exciting. No doubt about that.
Yeah, and some of the teams, like you said there, some of the teams who we would have had in the top four automatically at the start of the season are really starting to heat up. Villarreal look excellent, Barcelona look excellent, Atletico seem to have improved, Betis obviously have that little bit of a head start on everyone. Sevilla looked really good against Betis at times. Real Madrid haven't been great. I know La Liga is pretty much done and dusted, but they're really not playing that great. And I just, yeah, just for the neutral, I just hope it's a good end to the season and there's plenty of twists and turns.
Yeah, it's really been a couple months since Madrid have played well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not entirely sure. I think they're going to win this one by default because everyone else gave them a head start and they did start the season really well. Vinicius and Benzema have been excellent, but I think they've got a lot of questions to answer this summer in terms of where they're going as a team.
Yeah, some of their football has just been kind of, by their standard at least, rotten in the last 4 weeks, 6 weeks or so. And Sevilla, I just don't think Sevilla have enough consistency to catch them. Sevilla don't score enough goals. They defend great. Bono's probably going to win the Zamora, but I don't think they score enough. They're not consistent enough, and they draw too many games. That's probably Sevilla's issue.
Yeah. Really, really excellent what Lopetegui has done there, though. I will not hear a bad word said about Julen Lopetegui. Should have stayed with Spain, though.
Yes.
They would have won the World Cup. I'm telling you, they would have won the World Cup.
I don't disagree. That would just have had that happen on the eve of the tournament. It was just disastrous, man. What a bad decision that was.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to put a bookmark here for the time being. Robbie, thank you so much for hopping on today's show.
No problem at all, Jeremy. We'll chat soon.
We will be back next weekend to discuss Betis and Atletico, a top five clash at the Benito Villamarín. Until then, thank you all for listening. Keep it on intothecalderon.com, our social media, and our Patreon page as well, patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. You can also subscribe and listen to all recent episodes of the Colt Gennaro Chat and Partido a Partido podcasts on the Atletico Madrid Podcast Network on Spotify. Thank you all for listening. Adios. Thank you.